Recently on Vocal Point, we had a guest on named Vince Everett Ellison, and he wrote a book called 25 Lies, which is exposing 25 lies of the left, which are really tearing us down as a country. And I wanted to have him back on as a guest to follow up on some of the points, especially I want to talk about the breakdown of the family and how that is a pathology in our society. And in the black community, it's unfortunately, it's a disaster, and there are repercussions to that, and we want to follow up on this. His website, by the way, is vinceellison.com, and his book, again, is called 25 Lies. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And, Vince, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks again for joining us.
Jerry, thanks so much for having me. Glad to be here.
Sure. Okay, so the black family was really pretty stable in America until the time of the 1960s with the introduction of the whole welfare state. Now we're at a point where about 70% of the children are born out of wedlock. What repercussions are there for, you know, the family itself and society?
Well, they're terrible for society as a whole, catastrophic for the black community, but it works well for the Democrat Party, who planned the whole thing.
Wow.
It's not really a convoluted story, but it goes right down to the concept of the crazy repercussions of liberalism, which is nothing but a death cult. If you give me a couple of minutes, I'll explain how it happened.
Go ahead.
The civil rights movement started, and of course, it was a movement that most people with good sense looked at and said, you know, this is proper. Black people being beaten, they're being shot, they're being mistreated because they want to vote. So a lot of people who had never been involved in politics or were pushed out of politics joined the civil rights movement. And these people were very liberal. As a matter of fact, this is the true story. Taylor Branch wrote a great book on Martin Luther King Jr. It's called Parting the Waters, America in the King Years. And he wrote that in 1950, for their handlers to make sure that, and gave instructions for their handlers to make sure that, and gave instructions for their handlers to make sure that the black community is turned into a replica of the Soviet bloc. That was his orders. Stanley Levinson, the top communist in America, basically headed the civil rights movement. He wrote the I Have a Dream speech to Martin Luther King. He funded it. He gave King money. This is a fact. This is not conjecture. If you look up Stanley Levinson, you'll find out that that's true. So let's hold that. When Martin Luther King Jr. started doing what he was doing, the Justice Department told him that he had these communists in the civil rights movement, and that they needed to get them out because they were trying to undermine America. King wouldn't do it. John F. Kennedy took Martin Luther King in the Rose Garden, told him that Stanley Levinson was dangerous, told him that Jack O'Dell, who was the executive director, was also a communist and was dangerous, told him to get them out of the civil rights movement. King said he would, and he didn't. So these guys were running the movement, and also Kennedy told King that these communists were trying to use the civil rights movement to hurt America. He told him that. That was what they were trying to do with the civil rights movement. Now, the Moynihan Report comes out. He tells Lyndon Johnson that the black community is basically dying. He says, unless we put the black man back in charge of the family and use our federal research sources to do so, the black community is going to become a dystopia and it might destroy itself. Lyndon Johnson said, take this to the civil rights community. Now, David Garrow talks about this in his book about Martin Luther King Jr. bearing the cross. He said that when Moynihan took this report to the civil rights community, that it was a wonder that Moynihan got out of the room alive. The civil rights community jumped on him, discredited him, and just talked about him like he was a dog. And they told him that they wanted the man out of the house because they thought the feminists in the movement believed that marriage was like slavery. They did not want welfare tied to marriage. So instead of having the man in the house to get government assistance, they pushed the man out. It was called the Man Out Clause. There's a great movie called Claudine, where every time her boyfriend came over, James Earl Jones, black man, he had to hide because the welfare lady would come over to check. And if they caught a man there, they cut off our welfare. This was a fact. And within one generation, the black community went from having a two-parent families 80% of their children being born in two-parent families, to about 75% being born out of wedlock because of a government incentive started by the civil rights movement to get it done. And my last point, in his book called "And the Walls Came Crumbling Down," Ralph Abernathy, Martin Luther King Jr.'s best friend, said after King had died, he went to the black community, the black politicians, and he said he noticed that the generations of black people were stuck on welfare. He wanted to get them off. He said that when he went to these black politicians and talked to them about getting them off welfare, he said something curious happened. Black families locked into the welfare state because it gave them power. And then when they supported Ronald Reagan for president, because Ronald Reagan had gotten black people off welfare when he was governor of California. This is a plan. The black politicians and the Democrat Party have a plan to keep the black community under subjugation by making sure that the black man stays castrated. And this is too easy to change. They refuse to change it because it works for them. They keep the black community poor, uneducated, and afraid. And until we understand that this is a plan and we understand that they are behind it and this is intentional, we'll never be able to stop it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I can't help but think about the organization Black Lives Matter, and it's certainly true that black lives matter, but the organization is, you know, pro-communist, and they even had on their website, and I believe they've taken it off since, but this is their views, that they want to destroy the nuclear family. And it's like,
yes.
Well, why? I mean, the family's the key to upward mobility.
Of course. That's why they want to destroy it. They're a death cult. See, what we have to do is understand that there's no rhyme or reason to this. Just like there's no rhyme or reason to cancer or to the coronavirus or to a hurricane. They just are. This is what they do. I worked in a prison for 5 years. So I saw psychotics, people that killed for no reason except what they got enjoyment out of. They exist in this world and they gravitate to power. And just like when you had crazy Adolf Hitler in Germany, and all those psychotics gravitated to him because he gave them the power to kill at will. Psychotics gravitate to the top of the Democrat Party because all they do is meditate on blood. People like you don't understand it because you're a good person. I saw them live and in living color in the penitentiary every single solitary day, and they are evil incarnate. One of the you've heard the saying that the greatest trick the devil ever played on mankind was to make him believe that he did not exist. Yeah. And that's what Democrats tell you. Evil doesn't exist. Good and bad does not exist. Do what you want. There are no consequences to it. And that's the seductive lie that I talk about. It's seductive. Do what you want. No consequences. Nothing's going to happen to you. There's no heaven. There's no hell. Just live your life. It's seductive. You know, so the Democrats plant this lie. They tell the children to have sex and there's no consequence. Then when they get pregnant, they say, kill the baby. There's no consequence. Go out, eat, drink, be merry, because tomorrow you die. This is who they are, and this isn't strange in history. They've always been a psychotic party like this, even during slavery, where they raped, killed, mutilated, sold, sometimes their own flesh and blood on auction blocks. They called it a peculiar institution because it's the craziest thing anybody in the world had ever seen. Then they fought a civil war and damn near destroyed America to try to keep them. After that, Jim Crow, where they systematically, just disobeyed the law and the Constitution, killed people, kept them from voting, took their property. It didn't matter. They were an evil cabal then. And after 1965, do you think they changed? Not one single bit. Now they murder children. Now they just try to restrict religious liberties, try to disarm American citizens, try to castrate children and say that castrate boys and say they're girls and take the breasts out of little girls and say they're boys. They are an insane cabal. And until we stop treating them like they're not, we will never know how to beat them.
Wow. And what about education and the battles over curriculum and critical race theory and so forth?
Oh, yeah. They're very smart. The biggest mistake we ever made in the black community was allowing the liberals to take over our children's education. We used to educate our children in churches, literally in churches. When I first went to school, when I was young, that's the first schoolhouse I had because the schools were, you know, segregated in the South. And we went to school in the back of a church. And it was a church-led education, man. I mean, from top to bottom. And then when we gave it over to liberals, of course, they kicked God out of the schools as soon as that Brown versus Board of Education passed. And the liberals took over the educational system. And, of course, you know, turning your children over to these evil people, they're going to teach them to hate themselves. So they had black children recite that speech from Martin Luther King Jr. that you should be ashamed of the color of your skin, hoping people don't judge you by it, telling us that nonviolence was a Christian virtue when it was not. It's non-aggression. It's nothing virtuous about being nonviolent and allowing people to beat you and your children and your wife and treat you like a dog. There's no virtue in that. Now, there's no virtue in you and I walking down the street and seeing a young person or a baby getting accosted, and we say, well, we're nonviolent. We're not going to help. You know, no, it made us look like, you know, it made us, they made us stalkers, had us pitied, and then that gravitated to us hating ourselves. And now when you put black people into a close proximity with each other, they kill one another on an industrial level. Or they're stealing and giving drugs to each other, fighting. It's just a dystopia that no one wants to live in. Well, they're trying to now replicate that in the white community. So critical race theory is designed to make white children hate themselves. And if they can ever start making white children hate themselves like they've made most black people hate themselves, you're going to have this ghetto replicated all over America. America will turn into a ghetto, and you'll start seeing white children kill themselves in the same numbers that you see black people killing themselves, and America will cease to exist as a nation. And that is their plan. It's their plan.
Well, you know,
I have no doubt. Nobody's this stupid.
You know, you look at San Francisco. That was once a beautiful, beautiful city. And now talk about dystopia. Okay, we have about 3 or 4 minutes left. Let's talk solutions, solutions, solutions.
I am a Christian. I take everything back to the Bible.
Me too.
Jesus always told you, don't worry about the other person. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. I can't make you love me, but I can love you. I have to love myself first. And we have to teach children that, to love themselves. So us conservatives, us Christian conservatives, must start telling the truth. Because they've made us afraid to tell the truth, because then we'll be seen as intolerant. If one of these people come to you and try to blame you for their condition, you look at them as a Christian man and say, you are a slave looking for a master. I refuse to be your master. I will not live in condemnation for you. But what I will do is help you to understand that you are a free man. And I will help you exercise your freedom as I do. And we'll walk this earth as brothers. I will not be your master. If you want a master, go to the Democrat Party, because they are masters looking for slaves. You are a free man. I'm not responsible for what happened to you 200 years ago. I'm not responsible for what happened to you today. And if you try to do any harm to me, I got my 38 on my hip and I got God on my side. Now, what you want to do? That's what you tell them. The truth. I am not going to live in condemnation for you. If you're a lazy bum, you don't want to work, you have sissy in your blood, and you will not. You don't want to stand up to be a man. Now, if you want to be a man, I'll teach you how to be one. I'll teach you how to be free. Short of that, get out of my face and leave me alone. That's what you tell them.
All right, what can churches do for renewal? We have about a minute left.
Churches have to do what the Great Commission told us to do. Jesus said, take this gospel and spread it here in Jerusalem and Samaria and then in the uttermost parts of the world. He said, let's start here first. And we have to go back to Genesis, when Cain was angry because God had decided not to accept his offering. And he said, Cain, why are you angry? And he said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do well,
amen,
will you not be accepted? And if not, sin waits at the door to master you, but you must master it. Black Lives Matter has not done well. That's why they're burning up the cities. NAACP hasn't done well. All Antifa hasn't done well. So they have envy and they have jealousy, the same way Cain had envy and jealousy for his brother, and he killed him and he destroyed himself. Envy and jealousy destroys you. But if you teach a child and if you teach a person, if you do well, you will be accepted. That's why we love Joe Louis back in the 30s and the 40s. That's why we love Jackie Robinson now. That's why we love Muhammad Ali, because they did well.
Right,
they
right.
They did well. And they loved themselves. They didn't go out begging people to love them. You couldn't help but to love them because they were so good at what they did.
All right, we're out of time.
That's what you teach people.
Yeah, exactly. We're out of time, though. Thank you so much. VinceEEllison.com. Again, the name of the book, 25 Lies. Thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Man, thank you for having me.